high five and say, thank God I'm free. Thank God. Thank God I'm free. I'm so glad. Anybody glad they free from that old stuff that you used to be a part of? Anybody glad they free from what you used to be a part of? Listen, I want to get right to the word of God here this morning. You all can just remain standing just for a moment. Just you can rest on your feet, as they say. For just a moment, I thought on this day, many of you that have been here the last couple of weeks, you know I've been preaching a new series called Death Sentence. I've been preaching on a subject matter of rejection. And yet today, I feel like the Lord called an audible and really wanted me to speak specifically to the women, but to the entire body of Christ. Amen? Specifically to the women. And you'll notice just by what I teach today, but also to the body of Christ. You know, I happen to have two incredible women that are deeply impacting my life on a daily basis. Certainly, first and foremost, my covenant partner, amen? The woman that I married some 17 years ago this come July. And, of course, my mother, who birthed me, who took care of me, and who reared me, obviously, also on behalf of with the help of my father, but just highlighting a mother's worth today. Just highlight. I want to highlight that. Is that okay, moms? Is that okay that I just highlight? There are words that have been spoken into my life by women. These two especially, just words that I just will carry with me for the rest of my life. I remember shortly after graduating college, I came home for a little bit and I worked here in Youngstown, and then I was about to move, and I was moving to Columbus. And I remember, you know, here it is 20-something years later, and I remember my mom coming to me, and she just said, do you have a job? She said, you're moving, but do you have a job? Because I had quit my job in Youngstown. Quit my job. I said, no, I don't have a job. She said, you shouldn't be moving if you don't have no job. Y'all know what happened. I moved anyway. Come on, man. I moved anyway, ended up, needing money, this, that, and the other, because I was living with a friend of mine, yada, yada. Y'all know how that go. But as a mother would, she was making sure that I could eat, putting money in my bank account, just taking, yeah, I was spoiled. No question about it. Knew I shouldn't have left, but I did anyway. And then I remember some years later, now God has vindicated and God has restored everything. I had to say that just before I say what I say. I remember when I bought my first house, I remember my mother, she may or may not remember this, but she came over to the house and she stood in the kitchen and she was like, can you afford this house? I said, yeah, Ma, I wouldn't have bought the house if I could afford it. I lost that house. It wasn't funny then. Showing up wasn't funny then, believe you me. But God has restored everything since then, believe you me. God's restored everything. And then I remember my wife. My wife has said just eons and eons of amazing things to me. But I remember one thing in specific that my wife told me, because I was going to leave. I was going to move to Columbus again. I was going to move to Columbus again because I had lived there for a little bit. So I was going to move back to Columbus, this, that, and the other. And this was in late 07 going into 08. And I told my wife, I said, no, we're moving, this, that, and the other. My wife was like, babe, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And my wife was like, my wife kept telling me, she said, I believe God has something for us here. But I was frustrated. I was frustrated with everything that was happening. I had so much stuff fall apart. Had a business that I was a part of. It fell apart. Finances was all jacked up, messed up. I was just blah, blah, blah. I was just going through a lot of stuff, and I was just like, nah, babe, we moving. She said, I just believe God has something here for us. But as an amazing wife as she is, she said, but I'll go. So it wasn't like, no, I'm not going. No. She was like, no, I'll go. But I believe God has something for us here. Within months of her saying that, this assignment came to my life. I'm just saying, there's something about a woman's words. That's what I want to teach about today. I want to talk about the weight of a woman's words. Ooh, my Lord. Can a woman get excited about that? The weight of a woman's words. Y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. Y'all can be talking. Watch this. Watch this, everybody. Watch this. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Ooh-wee. Little sidebar, on the app, all my notes are on the app. Download the app on your phone, all the notes are on the app, okay? Just in case you miss something, all the notes are on the app. Download the app on your smartphone. Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people, Eleanor Roosevelt. If the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn the world upside down all alone, these together ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again. Oh, Lord. Did y'all? Abolitionist Sojourner Truth. I want to talk about here this morning. It's the diametric disposition of weight and weight. Because you've got the weight of a woman's words, as in the words are heavy. Right? And then you've got the weight of a woman's words, which actually means wait, pause, not time yet. So I'm gonna take us down two pathways through the Word of God. Come with me right quick here to Numbers 27. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, from the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these were the names of his daughters: Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Just in case somebody's looking for a name for their next daughter. And they stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders and all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle of meeting, saying, watch this, our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord, in company with Korah. But he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family because he had no sons? Pretext, everybody, pretext. Numbers 26 will take you back into Moses hearing from God. There's a census happening. The people are being numbered. What Moses is about to do is he's about to divide the land into five categories, five lots of land. And so what Moses is doing is he is then engaging the lineage of the land to connect with the sons. Zelophehad had no sons. He's got five bad sisters. Yeah. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because of what I'm about to tell you. So these five sisters, five daughters that Zelophehad has, get this, everybody, they impose upon Moses and Eleazar, and they come to them at the tabernacle of the meeting. Women don't come into men's meetings in that day. That doesn't happen. This is, watch this, this is a misogynistic, male-dominated society. In this time, women are told what to do. But these five bad sisters, well, I got five bad sisters in this place right now. These five bad sisters said, we understand what it used to be. But we got some land that's actually for us. And it should not pass to anybody else because it belonged to our daddy. Oh, my God, that's so good. And then they say this. They say, listen, don't make this decision on account of you think that our dad was associated with that nefarious nemesis called Korah. Y'all going to hear about him next week. Korah. Korah as in Korah's rebellion. Korah as in the first cousin of Moses and Aaron. Korah as in the man who incited 250 men to come against the regulations and the laws of Moses and Aaron because he was jealous. Because he was dealing with rejection. We'll talk about that next week. Oh my gosh. Because it's amazing how when somebody's promoted and you think it ought to be you, that can incite a riot of sorts. So the girls say, listen, wait a minute, don't hold us accountable on account of you think that my daddy had association with Korah, because he didn't. They simply said, he died in his own sin. I began to think to myself, of these five bad sisters, they had to get together and have a conversation among one another. They know they were blasting into a men's meeting. Nobody goes into a men's meeting. Moses, this the high priest. This the man that's on the mountaintop hearing from God. This is Ten Commandments. This is Moses at the tree. This is Moses, take your shoes off the ground as which your son on is holy. But they see something that they believe is rightfully theirs. And so they have the boldness and the courage to go, oh my gosh, keep going, Pastor. Oh, there's so much here, everybody. There's so much. Watch this. Then the Bible says this. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. I'm going to let y'all just rest on that just for 1 minute. Because I don't know about you, let the text talk, right? Let the text talk. The text doesn't say that Moses began to think about whether or not he should go to the Lord. The text doesn't say that Moses then begins to have conversation with Eleazar and to all of these other men and say, what y'all think? Y'all think I ought to go to the Lord? Absolutely not. The text tells me that as soon as the five sisters tell Moses what's going on, immediately Moses goes to the Lord, because there's something about a woman. Oh, my God. There's something about a woman that comes to you in courage, that comes to you in strength, that comes to you in faith. There's something about a woman that when she give you that look, because you best believe these women came respectful to Moses, but they had that look. Why y'all men looking at me like that? Every married man in the building knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know that look that your wife gives you, and you know what that look means. Moses brought their case before the, can I be honest? There are times where my wife will tell me something, and it may not be exactly what I want to hear. And what I will often do is I'll go to the Lord. Because there's something about a woman who's in touch with the spiritual authority and the power of God. There's something about a woman making her case. There's something about the words that a woman speaks and how they come across. Oh, I hope there are not no male misogynistic men in this place today. I hope the men in this place understand the importance of a woman. I hope the men in this place understand that there wouldn't be a church if it wasn't for the women. The church would have died a long time ago. Thank you, women. Can all the men in this place right now put your hands together for the women that are in this place? Matter of fact, men, why don't you join me? I'm standing. Why don't you stand? Why don't we just clap our hands and thank God for the women who have held the... You all know they've held it down. When you was watching a game, didn't want to go to church. When you just wanted to chill, kick your feet up. When you was talking about, I'm already working 5 days a week. I can't give another day. I'm going to have my Lord's Day at home watching the Browns and the Steelers. Come on now. Some of y'all said that, but thank God for the women who were holding it down with the praise and worship, for holding it down on the first touch, for holding it down with the ushers. Come on now. Thank God that we have busted that glass ceiling up in this church where women can preach in this place, women can serve in this place, women can lay hands in this place, women can prophesy in this place, women can cast out devils in this place. Thank God for the power of a woman. And the Lord spoke to Moses, watch this, everybody. The daughters of Zelophehad speak what's right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. Ooh, that's so good, y'all. And you shall speak to the children of Israel saying, watch this. So the Lord says, he says, if a man dies and he has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. Oh, I ain't got to read no more. I ain't got to read no more. I don't have to read no more. Because what I'm reading to you is that the voices of these five bad sisters changed the whole law. See, all it takes is one sister to stand up and say, I know what it's been, and I know what it used to be, but I want what's rightfully mine. See, I don't want no sister to be suppressed in a male-dominated society and feels like she can't advance because the advancement seems to be restricted to men. Because I know a God who can change everything. Well, Pastor, the person that's been over me has been a male for the last 50 years. It don't matter, baby. If you go to God in a respectful manner, let me tell you, God can change things on your behalf. God will have you sitting in things that... God will have you sitting in a seat that have been male-dominated for centuries. Is this not powerful? The entire law has changed now on account of these sisters. I got to give you these three things about this woman. They were confident to speak what they believed was right, not was written. What was written? What? Confident to speak what they believed was right, not written. They were qualified to at least consider because of their lineage. They were qualified. They said, you at least got to consider this because of our daddy. Watch this. And number three, they were courageous to command, what rightfully belonged to them because of who their daddy was. They were courageous to command what rightfully belonged to them because of who their daddy was. I'm talking to you too, men. They were courageous to command what was rightfully theirs. Because I'm not talking about Zelophehad. Yeah, that was the five daughters of daddy. But I'm talking about that you are courageous enough to command what you believe is rightfully yours because of who your daddy is. They can't hold you back from the promotion on your job because of who your daddy is. Lord, keep going, Pastor. The first group of women's rights activists were the daughters of Zelophehad. This was the first group of women's rights activists. What, these daughters? I actually created this, the law of women's inclusion. I created this. Anything a man is entitled to, inherit, determined by his lineage, is now a vow to a woman. Anything that a man is entitled to, according to his lineage, is now a vow to a woman. Can a woman yell, don't leave me out?
Don't leave me out.
Ooh, come on now. Come on. Can a woman yell, don't leave me out?
Don't leave me out.
Why? Because I got some bad sisters here that don't want to be left out of the promotion when the promotion is up. I got some sisters here that don't want to be left out in the crowd simply because of their gender or their nationality. I got some sisters here who are going to rise to presidential types of lifestyles. I got some women here who are going to become business owners, who are going to own. I've got some women here who are going to change the order of what it used to be. I got some mothers here, as that song used to say, I can bring home I can bring home the bacon and cook. Come on now. I got any mothers out there, right? Any mothers out there like that? Are there any mothers or any woman out there that have ever heard a man complain about all he had to do? And you almost looked at him sideways like, brother, please. I done had to carry all your kids. Don't you dare tell me how tired you is. I carried that boy for 9 months. I carried her for 9 months. I had headaches. I had pains. I got hot sometimes. I got cold sometimes. Am I talking to any sisters out there? Am I talking to any sisters out there? I can bring home the who? The bacon? And what? And fried up in a pan. And then what? And y'all done took us to the club real quick. Let me get back to Judges 4. Y'all getting something this morning? Y'all getting something? Are the women getting something this morning? Are the women getting something? Do the sisters realize how bad they are in this place right now? Judges 4, verse 4. Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at that time. She was sent under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites would go to her for judgment. One day she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali. She said to him, say, Deborah, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. She's talking to Barak. Say, Barak. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor, and I will call out Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors to the Kishon River. Sisera, a man who was wreaking havoc on the Israelites. I mean, just wreaking havoc. Deborah's having this conversation with Barak. Watch this. Then she says this. She says, there I will give you victory over him. Deborah, the fourth judge of Israel, the only female judge. Deborah's a bad girl, you all. Deborah's having this conversation with Barak. Oh, because what's better, everybody, is Deborah is a prophetess. She hears from God, and she's a judge by day. A judge by day, a prophetess by night. Is that fly, y'all? That's cold-blooded. Oh, I'm really dating myself right now with these languages, right? Fly and cold-blooded. Y'all like, what in the world? Some of y'all feeling me, though. That's around 35, 40. 25-year-olds are like, cold? Like, what do you mean, like, cold? Cold. What? She said, so the Lord says this. So there I will give you victory over him. Now, Barak told her, watch Barak, everybody. Barak told her, he said, I'll go, but only if you go with me. Wait a minute, a woman going to war? Barak, one of the commanders of the army, a man of war, she's telling him, listen, the Lord is going to give you victory. But here, you got to bring out 10,000 warriors. Now, the 10,000 warriors are much less in number than Sisera has. Much less. But when God says you have the victory, you have the victory. Let me say that again. When God says you have the victory, you have the victory. I don't care how outnumbered you look. When God says you have the victory, you have the victory. I don't care what the report said. Preach, pastor. It don't matter what they said was going to happen. If God be for you, who can be against you? Deborah tells Barak all of these amazing things, but Barak says, I'll only go if you go with me. So I began to ask myself, well, why would Barak petition a woman to go to war? Number one, kingdom rank. Kingdom rank. Why? She was a judge. She was a judge. Don't get it twisted. She was a judge, flat out, point blank. She was a judge. She was in high hierarchy. And hierarchy matters in the kingdom of God. That's why when I tell the men in this place that you are a king in the earth, a king in the earth does not capitulate to the mess that is happening within the earth. A king functions as a king. A queen functions as a queen. So we have Deborah here. Number one, I believe it's because she's a judge. Number two, watch this. She has prophetic insight. Gosh, do I have enough time? She got prophetic insight, you all. So Barak wants to make sure that if he's going to go to war with 10,000 soldiers and he's going to be outnumbered, that he needs somebody that's got prophetic insight. He needs somebody that knows when to war and when to rest. He needs somebody that knows what position are they going to be attacking me in. See, that's why you need to have somebody in your life, if it's not you, that hears prophetically from God. All of us can hear from God, but there are people, men and women in the earth, whom God has given a prophetic gift. Ephesians 4 and 11, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. There are some, even in this place today, you have a gift to hear from God. So Barak says, I need Deborah because of her prophetic insight. Because she hears from God. Watch this. I need Deborah because of her feminine disposition. Her feminine, what do you mean? Her feminine disposition, Deborah, who we know is married, we don't know if she has children. Not saying she does, not saying she doesn't, but she's got a womb. Her feminine disposition means she has a womb. And when a woman has a womb, she protects differently. Ooh, my Lord. When a woman has a womb, she protects differently. Every mother in this place right now, you can talk about your own child. But don't you dare hear somebody else talking about your baby. It ain't no longer funny. Wait a minute, that's my kid you're talking about right now. I'm the only one that can say that about him. She has a feminine disposition. She has a womb. So why is that so important, Pastor? Because the feminine disposition of Deborah as a judge, as a woman with a womb, means that, according to Barak, I believe I got this revelatory from heaven, according to Barak, that Deborah will make sure and will be concerned that no man is lost. That no man dies. We're about to go to war. But there's something about the womb of a woman. When she carries something, she gets to know what she carries. And one woman to understand, and I've told pregnant women this, my wife was like this a lot, that, you know, when people come around and you're carrying something, especially in the womb, you don't just let anybody touch your womb. Because there can be a transfer spiritually. And I remember people would literally, when my wife was pregnant, people would literally come up to her and she didn't know them. She didn't know. I'm not talking about people that you are endeared to, that you know, that you trust. I get that. But people that you don't really know, people would reach out and my wife would just kindly. Why? Because you can't touch what's on the inside of me. Because something on the inside of me is growing. Something on the inside of me is going to grow into something great. So Barak said, I need her. Because nobody can protect like a woman. Ooh, thank you, all three of you that clapped your hands. I appreciate you. And then number four, y'all gonna like this, just a woman's intuition. Ooh, ain't nothing like a woman's intuition. Come on, mamas. Come on, ladies. It ain't nothing like a woman's intuition. Ain't nothing like a woman say, I don't know what it is about her. There's something about something I don't feel right. My wife has said that to me a number. I'm not talking about with women. I'm talking about with stuff. My wife is like, no. Something. It's something about the discernment of a woman. A woman can walk in a room and say, ooh, something's off. Something's off. Something's off in here. I feel something ain't right. We need to get up out of here. I know things might look a certain way, but a woman sees deeper than the surface. It's something in a woman. Is it a discernment power that God has given to a woman? He gave it to a man in a different measure. And so Barak says, I need a woman to come with me on account of her ability to discern. She can discern. She can feel stuff. And then number five, finality. Yeah, because a woman gonna finish it. Oh yeah, she gonna finish it. She gonna finish it. She gonna finish it. Let me tell you, in almost 17 years, my wife and I, we were talking about this the other day. My wife and I, we barely ever argue. Well, we don't argue. And I mean that, we don't argue. We just have heated fellowship. Just heated fellowship. That's all, just heated fellowship. Every now and then. But we don't argue in all this. We do, babe. We talked about this the other day. We don't. We have a very healthy marriage, and so we don't get in all of that, you know, you this and you that, you another one. Nah, we don't do all that. No, that's just crazy. but there's something about finality. I'm gonna tell on myself right quick. But a woman got to have the last word. Come on, I got to get back. She going to have the last word. No, not my wife. I'm talking about y'all, not my wife. Y'all. Yeah, a woman is going to make sure that it's finished. So Barack knows I need her with me because if she's saying that we go to war, she going to make sure that the job is finished. Watch this. This is so good. She said, watch. Very well, this is what Deborah says. I will go with you. But then she hits him with this, everybody. Oh, but you'll receive no honor in this venture, for the Lord's victory officer, Sarah, will be at the hands of a woman. Oh, that's bad. Oh, my goodness. She said, oh, I'll go with you. I ain't got no problem going with you, brother. But let me tell you right now, you ain't going to get no victory in this. I'm going to go with you, but he going to die, but him dying is going to be at the hands of a woman. Meaning what is started by a woman is going to be finished by a woman. Ooh, if the women believe that, give yourselves a hand clap right there. Ooh, my Lord. Ooh, I'm running out. Let me get right to verse 14. Then it says, Deborah said to Barak, she says, get ready. Somebody say, get ready. Say, get ready. She said, this is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera. This is the day. Here it is. Her discernment and her prophetic insight is kicking in. She says, this is the day. It's not tomorrow. It wasn't yesterday. It's today. Somebody say, it's today. For the Lord is marching ahead of you. Oh, babe, that's so good. The Lord is marching ahead of me? I haven't even sent the troops yet. Barak hasn't sent the troops yet. But Deborah begins to sense that it's time. And as she senses that it's time, she tells Barak, she says, today is the day that God's going to give you victory over your enemies. And so you need to mount up because God has already gone before you. God has already gone before you. I don't know. I might be talking to two people in here. God has already gone before you. I'm going to preach to myself. God has already gone. God's already gone before you. Don't worry about being dismayed, all jacked up, all messed up, all depressed, all feeling hopeless. Got to call 50 people, got to tweet it out, Instagram it out, Facebook it about. If God has called you to win this next battle, and I believe that he has, that God has already gone before you. Can a woman give me a hootie hoo? So Barak led 10,000 warriors, y'all, down the slopes of Mount Tabor with the people. I got to hit it fast. When Barak attacked, the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots and warriors into a panic. Then Barak chased the chariots and knocked and the enemy army all the way. What happens, you all? They kill everybody. They kill everybody. Ain't nan one of them left. Yeah, I said nan one of them. I said it. Ain't nan one of them left, y'all. Watch this. But the man that they after, he escaped. This guy named Sisera, he escapes. Then watch this. Sisera ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Hera the Kenite, because Heber's family was on a friendly terms with King Jabin of Sazor. Jael went to meet Sisera and said to him, come into my tent, sir. Come in, don't be afraid. So he went into her tent and she covered him with a blanket. He told Jael, he said, please give me some water. I'm thirsty. She gave him some milk from a leather bag and covered him again. Stand at the door of the tent, he told her. If anybody comes and asks you if there is anyone here, say no. But when Sisera fell asleep from exhaustion, Jael quietly crept up to him with a hammer and tent peg in her hand. Then she drove the tent peg through his temple and into the ground, and so he died. I need a man to lean on another man and say, don't drink the milk. Don't drink the milk. Don't drink the milk of this bad girl. This is a bad sister right here. Don't drink the milk. The milk put him to sleep. The milk, it was the milk. It wasn't the milk. It was a setup from God. It was God's favor whom Deborah had orchestrated from the beginning. She told Barak, you ain't going to have the final victory in this say-so. this death is going to come at the hands of a woman. Is there a woman here that know they can do some bad, amazing stuff in their life? Is there a woman here that is going to claim 2019 as your greatest year? Is there a woman here that's gonna break some glass ceilings in this society and in this life? If that's you, every woman, give God a scream right quick. Come on. Now high five three women and say, he's talking about me. This is my year, this is my year. Women, come on, mothers. Come on, this life, is there a woman? Oh. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, okay, let's wind home. Y'all getting something good this morning? Y'all getting something good? Who needs Young and the Restless? Who needs the Bold and the Beautiful when you got the Bible? This Bible is something, y'all. Woo! Can I give you a little bit more and we're going to close home. John 11, verse 17. Some of y'all are very familiar with this particular text. Jesus came and he found that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Somebody say 4 days. He had been dead for 4 days, four being the number of creation. Sun, moon, stars, light, darkness. Four being creation. Greek word kairos. Kairos. Appointed time. So he had been dead 4 days, the appointed time. He had been dead 4 days, four meaning creation, four kairos being divine appointment. Four. He's been dead, and so the Bible says that Martha comes on the scene because she hears Jesus is in town. She knows Jesus is in town, this wonderful, beautiful Palestinian sister. She steps on the scene and she catches Jesus. And she says to Jesus, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, there are so many who have said that she was actually telling Jesus off. She wasn't. She was saying it in a respectful manner, but the way it's written and we read it, it often seems as though she brought some type of hand slapping upon Jesus. Absolutely not. She completely recognizes who he is. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus looks at her and says, listen, your brother will rise again. She says, oh, I know. Okay, back up, Pastor, because she says something else I got to give you. She said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I believe that if you can inquire of your father and he will give you whatever you ask. It is with intent that the Bible highlights this conversation between this woman named Martha and Jesus. After she says this, Jesus says, your brother will rise again. She says, oh, I know he will rise again at the resurrection. Jesus says to her, some of y'all already know this, right? I am the resurrection and the life. He who is dead, watch this, but believes in me, will rise again. And he who is alive and believes in me will never die. Never die. Watch this. Oh, this is so good, everybody. Oh, man. Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then something else happens, everybody, a short time later, the Bible says Mary catches Jesus. Mary catches him. And she repeats the same thing. She says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Shortest chapter in the Bible says what? Jesus wept. So we see these women catching Jesus at two points. It's like Jesus is he's recognizing who he is to Martha, and then he's identifying with Mary. Because he shows his emotionalism. He shows his heart. A good daddy will show his heart, will identify with your sorrow. You already know that he came out that grave. I'm not even going there right now. But I do want to give you these five areas by which is displayed before Jesus, because they should always be this way whenever we're going into the throne room of our Lord and Savior. Number one is honor, honesty, hope, hunger, and humility. She shows him honor, honesty. She's just honest. She just flat out. I told you there's something about a woman. Just be honest. Just put it out there. Hope, because she believes. Hunger, she believes he's a son of God. And humility, brokenness before the Lord. In Luke 24, as we begin to wind home, Jesus has now arisen. And we find that this is written in different synoptic gospels, that the women, they go to see Jesus. They have the ointments, and they've got everything, and they're coming to see Jesus. And the Bible says that when they get there, two men in dazzling white, depending on which interpretation you read, they said, you know, who are you looking for? They say, he's risen. He's not here. He's risen. So then the Bible says that I believe in the Lukean particular text, it says, "Go and tell the men what you have saw. Go tell the men that he's risen." Another translation actually has the women running into Jesus. Actually running into, and then he says, "Go and tell the men." Where am I going? Because there's something about a woman when it comes to identity. I began to think to myself, you know, why would he arrange it that in many of the synoptic gospels that it was the woman that went and told the men? Get this, everybody. Just like Zelophehad's daughters, the same difference happened with these women. They busted in on a men's only meeting. And they said, he's risen. He is not dead. He is alive. Because what happens, everybody? Because I began to think, because I've given you so many points here this morning, I began to think that nobody can describe a man that they saw better than a woman. Nobody can describe a man that... Hear me. So, if you've got these women, come stand up, Carla, Minister Carla. So you've got Jesus, and Minister Carla has conversation with Jesus. And come here, Pastor Mike. And Pastor Mike is Jesus. And so she has conversation, and he says, go and tell the disciples that you saw me. And it is with intent that the Bible has told us, the word is God breathed, amen, God inspired, that he uses a woman as the first one to see Jesus reincarnated. And he says, go and tell the disciples what you have seen. So you best believe, regardless of the time that she spent, by time that she goes and tells the disciples, nobody can tell it like a woman. Oh, man. Is there 50 women in this place that will believe me, understand that? Nobody can describe a man like a woman. Let me just break it down like that. Because a woman
can walk past a man in the inkling of a moment, not even spend time talking to the man, but can say, I didn't like his shoes, I didn't like his belt, I didn't like his hat. Didn't like a woman when it comes to describing what they saw. Nothing. Is that true, women? Is that true? Is that true? Nothing like it. And the same difference, I went one extreme, but the same as the other extreme, is that a woman can say, ooh, I know the cologne he had on, his dress, the way he was dressed, the way he was prepped. I saw what book he was carrying. You better believe that when they went to the disciples, when they described what they saw, oh, they went in detail. They said, you sure it was him? Oh, it was him. Oh, it was him. Does a woman have to give you any more than that? A woman just said, oh, it was him. It was him. It was him. It was him. Well, how do you know it was him? Because I've spent time with him. I know it was him because I spent time with him. And whenever you spend time with the Lord, you know. See, the more you spend time with him, the more you know him. The more you know him, the more you will not misidentify him. Because we're living in a day right now that you need to know the voice of God. And you need to know when Jesus walks in the room. You need to be able to identify the voice of, I'm talking to every man and every woman, every child in this place right now. You need to, why? Because there's so many voices now. You need to be able to identify the voice of God. And you got to have one of those, I know that I know that I know. You can't live in the if, buts, and maybes and all of that. Listen, you got to have some assurance in this day and age. If you're going to be a witness for Jesus, you got to have some assurance. You got to say, listen, baby, I know it ain't happened yet. I know it ain't happened yet. And maybe you're having a hard time hanging in there with Jesus. But let me tell you about my Jesus. I have been with him long enough to have experienced him delivering me. See, there's power in the telling when God has already brought you from somewhere and took you to another place. But it's hard to tell about what God has done when you've not experienced him do anything. But there's at least 100 in you in here who have experienced the hand of God move in your life. And God is no respecter of persons. He'll bless a woman. He'll bless a man. But when you've experienced the hand and the move of God, there's nothing like sharing what you experienced and what you saw God do in your life. There's nothing like that. And we're living in the day where you have got to tell the testimony of what God has done. Because we're living in a world where our world today says, show me. Show me. Show me what he's done. The next time they say that to you, I just say, just look at me. Look at me. I am what he's done. Stop acting like you was always that pretty. You always had everything going on in your life. And I don't mean as in pretty, as in facial looks. I'm talking about you were living in a time when your whole life was jacked up. Your whole life was messed up. You had all kinds of egregious thoughts going through your mind. But a touch from God has changed everything in your life. Is there anybody in here that can claim how God just touched your life? There's some women in here that's been so beat up, bashed, talked about. You ugly, you'll never be anything. But a woman better say, but God. Can't nobody tell you like Jesus can. Nobody can confirm your lot in this life like Jesus. Nobody. But you got to be courageous enough to tell somebody what God has done in your life and how God has done it. And you're going to have experiences in life where God is actually going to set you up to tell somebody. What you're going through is not for you. What you're going through is not for you. God is using you as a conduit. You are a pass-through. But God is using you because he can trust you. Oh, my Lord. Ooh. the more he can trust you, the more heinous the stuff that you'll go through in your life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Why would God bring any harm to those that he loves and those that he adores? If he brought it to you, he's going to bring it through you, and he'll put you in a place where you can sit and you can tell of the testimony of God. If you believe that, put your hands together in this place. Come on, put your hands together real strong. Come on, somebody stand to their feet and give God some praise in this place. The weight of a woman's words. See, for both the Zelophehad's daughters and for the women who busted in on the meeting with the disciples, there comes a time where, as the protocol of the day, it must be entered into. Those things, they didn't matter for the sisters. They didn't matter. They didn't matter for the ladies who went to tell about Jesus. What God is looking for, and I believe this, is boldness and courage in the body of Christ like never before. There have been too many mouths shut in the body of Christ, but I believe we're living in the day where God is going to bring increase to hearts, to minds, to souls all throughout the world. And as God has already done, God's going to specifically, and I believe intentionally, is going to continue to use women. We're watching things happen, even in our community, whereas women are being used. Shout out to the first African-American female judge in the history of Youngstown, Ohio. My friend, Carla Baldwin. My dear friend, first. You know, it would almost be too easy to say, well, is there a woman here who wants to make history? I would believe many of you want to make history, but more than making history, you just want to fulfill your destiny. If your destiny means that you make history, so be it. But your goal doesn't have to be to make history. Your goal should be, Lord, I want everything that you have for my life. I don't want to miss nothing. And if that means that I'm going to bust glass ceilings, then so be it. Lift your hands all over the building. I know I've got so many women here who just believe in that this it's their time. It's their time. I want to minister to mothers and women this morning. You just believe it's your time. It's your time. Honey, come on up and join me. If I'm talking to you, I want you to meet me down here at the altar right now. Just meet me. Meet me. You saying, Pastor, it's my time. I feel it. I feel it. There's been some blockages along the way. I've been dealing with a couple of, I'm going to ask you to minister, honey, just to pray over these women as they come forth. There's just been some walls I've been hitting. Some walls. Also want to cover any woman right now who lost a mother over the last year, even in the years past. Lost a mother. We want to minister to you even now. We got women in here that are ready. They're ready to break out and break into. They're ready to go beyond what's common. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Just continue to come as the Lord just leads you here. Women.
Bless your name, Jesus. Yeah. These women are saying, babe, they need to break the mold. It's not dependent upon your age. It's not dependent upon your age. Whether you're late teen, 20s, or whether you're 70s, 80s, God can use and will use your life. Honey, you can just go ahead and begin to minister.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for all the women at this altar this morning. We thank you for their lives. Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus that these women will begin to arise.
Yes,
they will begin to arise in their callings, in their purpose. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for them that they will break forth. They will break forth in what you've called them to do. They will not draw back from what you have called them to do. They will press towards the mark, the high calling, Father, that you have put in their spirit, that you have put in their wombs. And Father, they will be the carriers that you have called them to be. For they have carried, Father God, the things that you have put in them. And Father, now it's time for them to birth it. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will begin to birth in this season, that nothing will hinder them, nothing will block them, nothing will restrict them. The sky is the limit. Father, I break off every limitations off of their life, off of their minds, off of their expectation. Father God, I pray that their life, oh God, oh, it will exemplify you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that the women will begin to run after you like never before. They will be the women of worship. They will be a woman of prayer. They will be able to prophesy. Father God, give them eyes to see in the spirit. Oh God, let their mouth be filled with your words. Father, I break off fear in the name of Jesus. They will not no longer walk in fear. They will not fear man. They will only fear you. God, I pray that they will walk in the truth, and the truth will set them free. In the name of Jesus, I pray they will have a heart after you like never before. Let them have a heart to run after you. Let them have a heart to worship at your feet. Let them have a heart, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let them break open the alabaster box. Break it open and pour out your gift unto the Lord. Break open the alabaster box and pour out the gift that God has given you, the gift on the inside of you. Pour it out and anoint the feet of Jesus. Lord God, I pray that the women will arise. Arise. Arise, women of God, arise and take your place. Arise. Arise, women of God, take your place. Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. It is yours. It is yours. Arise. Arise. Women of God, it's your season. It's your season to arise. It's your season to break out and to break into what God has called you to do. Arise with the word of the Lord in your mouth. Arise.
Yes,
arise, women of God.
Yes.
The warrior, let it come out.
Yes.
Let the warrior come out.
Yes.
In this season, let it come out.
I'm feeling something prophetic. Go prophetic. Be patient, church family. Be patient. Just shift. Just hearing something prophetic. I want to release this as the Lord would have me. You're on my heart. What's your name? Dow, just lift your hands, Lord. Lift your hands. For even as I began to lay hands upon you, the Lord said there were literally scales falling off of your eyes. The Lord says the scales that are falling off of your eyes are causing you to see people differently. For there are many people around you whom you have trusted who have let you down. The same people that you thought loved you have now left you. But the Lord says, I have burst you into a new season. And although it does not always feel new, the Lord says, I'm making everything new in your life. For you have been one who many have put their mouth on. Many have talked about you. They have put you in a corner. They have ostracized you. But the Lord says, I am bringing you into a new position in your life. For the Lord says, watch this. For the Lord says, they may have refused to promote you in the natural. But today, the Lord says, I'm promoting you in the spiritual. For the Lord says, today you will hear from me at a keener place than what you've ever heard from me. So no longer shall you be downtrodden. And I hear the Lord saying, stop allowing people to put names on your children. People are judging you, talking about you, speaking things, especially to your girls. And I hear the Lord saying, pray over your girls. Speak life over your girls. Speak abundance over your girls. Your desperate plea and your cry for your babies is that their life would turn out different than yours. But I hear the Lord saying, but I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. Matter of fact, I hear the Lord saying, this is a new season. So you better get ready to walk stronger, to walk with more courage. My Lord, I just hear education. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Education, I hear that. I hear that over your life, education. I don't know whether you need to go get your degree. I don't know whether there's a business. There's something on the inside of you, and you've been waiting for confirmation. Education. I hear the Lord saying it. Go get it. Go get it. Don't. I'll provide everything. I hear the Lord saying provision is yours right now. Provision is yours. There's a grant available for you that will come into fruition, says the Lord. For I hear the Lord says you shall be like a locomotive over these last number of months. For the Lord says you are going to be unidentifiable and unrecognizable to your friends. For they're going to say, what happened to you? You're going to say, the only thing that happened to me is I fell deeper in love with Jesus Christ. And Jesus has changed everything in my life. Give God a shout for this daughter right now. Come on, give God a healthy shout in this place. The Lord saying to you, daughter, how long will you suffer silently? How long? For I have set a place for you, says the Lord, and it is a place for me and you. For the Lord says that you have been in such an exterior discomfort. He said, because I wish to woo you into the chamber. For there is an intimacy and an excellence that the Lord says that lies in me that the world can't give you. So much of your life has been spent with people who didn't follow through. They just didn't follow through. You love them, they're good people, they didn't follow through. There's something about you that is an irritant. It is for many of us. It's an irritant for people to say something and not finish it. See, you're a finisher. You like to see things done, completed. And when it's not done and completed, anxieties begin to mount up and they begin to turn. See, because you're one that says, listen, don't confuse my exterior emotion for the interior grace that I have. Don't confuse that. See, the world may think one thing, but on the interior, there's something totally different about you. God created you to be no nonsense. That's the way God created. Don't apologize for that. That's the way God created you. But hear me when I say, the Lord says, daughter, I'm calling you into the chamber room. Oh, Lord. In the chamber room. In the chamber room. Ooh, come on, speak it. Come on, Holy Spirit. Okay. Because I'm going to just tell you how God's telling me. Because there's an argument that you want to have with God. Just you and God. Not you and your husband. Not you and your beautiful babies. It's just you and God. For the Lord says, I'm calling you into the chamber room so we can just have it out. Just me and you. You can tell me about your disappointments. You can tell me about your fears. You can tell me about all this stuff that you're going through. You can tell me about how things were not when you were young. You can tell me how things have not become like you want them to be. You can tell him about you are not exactly where you want to be at the season that you want to be in. For the Lord says, I can handle it. He says, and when you get done telling me about what I haven't done, I'm going to tell you about what I'm about to do. For you've been crushed for just a season. But I hear the Lord saying unto you, you're about to be like new wine. Ooh. Lift your hands, daughter. Father God, every word spoken over this daughter right now, that she would come into this season of enjoyment and of pleasure. Ooh. Where's your husband? Wait, come on down here. I know you got the baby. Come on down here real quick. Because the Lord is strengthening the covenant. He's strengthening the covenant. He's doing something in the covenant. Come on. Just grab a hold of your wife. The Lord says, I'm strengthening the covenant today, says the Lord. I'm strengthening the covenant. I'm cementing the covenant. I'm cementing it. I'm strengthening it. I'm strengthening all the disappointments, all the hurts, all the anxieties individually, says the Lord. I'm causing a healing to come to right now. And I hear the Lord saying that you will feel, there it is right there. There's a refreshing even coming to your marriage right now. There's a refreshing. Receive this if you've got a marriage that needs it. You got a marriage that needs it. Receive this right now. It's a fresh wind coming to your marriage. Fresh wind, fresh conversations, fresh opportunities, fresh love, fresh wisdom, fresh knowledge coming to your home right now in the name of Jesus. There's a shift that's coming to your household, says the Lord. Your home and your lives shall be celebrated, says the Lord. Somebody give God some praise in this place. You need to receive that word for your own marriage. Just receive it for your marriage. If you need to receive that word spoken to that daughter for your own life, receive that word. I believe that there's someone here. There's a woman here that needs to recommit their lives to Jesus. That needs to recommit. They need a fresh start in Jesus today. They said, Pastor, I just need a fresh start. I need that. I don't want to leave this altar area without having a fresh start in Jesus. If that's you and you right before me, even out there, just lift your hand right here. Thank you, daughter. Thank you. That's you. Just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. If you lifted your hand, and many of you did, can you just come into this area right here? Can you just come right in front of me and my wife? I saw somebody down there. Look at God. Come on, somebody give God some praise in this place. Come on, look at this. Y'all, this is celebrate time, right? This is the best time of the service right here. It's the best time of the service right here. All these souls coming back to God. Just lift your hands. I want to first thank the Lord for each of you and the courage that it has taken you to say, I need a fresh start in Jesus Christ. I just need a fresh start. It's almost like I just need a redo in God. Some of you may have heard of him. Some of you may know him. But some of you may not have a relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about a relationship that has Jesus as Father, as Dad, as Adonai, as Rapha, as Jehovah, as Elohim, as Sitkanu, knowing God the Father in that measure will forever change your life. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He said, take my yoke upon me, for my burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many of you are carrying heaviness and weights, but now is the time to lay those things at the throne. Those of you for me, just lift your hands. Just repeat with me, Father God, here I am today. I am repenting of everything that I have ever done in my life. I'm asking you, Father, to receive me as a daughter in your household. I lay my life, my destiny, and my purpose before you. I am no longer queen of my own heart, but I allow you, Jesus, to be king of my purpose, of my destiny, and of my soul. And Father God, today, I call you Lord and Savior. And today, I am saved, I am redeemed, I am replenished, I am restored, and I shall recover all. Give God some glory in this place if you would. Come on, can we really thank the Lord for these beautiful? I want a number of our women real quickly. Some of our women, just come and just loose some hugs and love upon these women right now, please. Please, some of our women, just come. Some of our women at the house. I'm about to speak the blessing here in just a second. Jesus, for the souls saved at this altar today. Come on, man. That's what it's all about. It's all about souls, everybody. It's all about souls. Covering you and your family. I see your father back there. Covering you, man of God. What's your dad's name? Dana, we're covering you, man of God. Just covering you, and with your recent loss. Your mom is back there as well. Oh, bless you. Our heart goes out to you and your husband. Just on this time of loss. Yes. Yes. All right. Listen, if you would. Just stand once again. Happy Mother's Day to to every mother in the building. And mothers, make sure you are spoiled today. Amen. Mothers, make sure. So you wives that are mothers, you tell your husband, Pastor said to spoil me today. Matter of fact, you tell him it's Mother's Day all week. Sunday to Sunday. Amen. 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 Forget the day. Come on, Ron. We need the whole week. Listen, we bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That is God intended for your purpose. We bless this season in your life. Somebody yell, it's my best season. We bless you emotionally, socially, physically, financially, spiritually, existentially, truly. We bless you. Listen, we tell you each week, be excited, energetic, full of life. Did I mess that up? Did I mess that up? Did I mess it up? I think I did mess it up. We tell you each week to be excited. What do I say? Huh? Oh, that's it. Hey, Pastor Human, y'all. I've been saying this for 10 years and had a brain freeze. I tell you each week that you have an amazing life to live and live it the very best that you can and be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what? Love on somebody before you leave here. It happens, everybody. It happens.